This morning I am excited to begin a new series of messages in the Sermon on the Mount, which will take us several months to make our way through. And you might want to open your Bibles to Matthew 5 at this point. I just want to kind of give you an overview of the sermon today, give you a little bit of kind of the big picture of it, if you will. The theme of this series is the kingdom of God in us. The reason for that is that we have to acknowledge that we cannot attain to the standards that are found in these chapters. The standards that Jesus sets are not something that we can gain on our own. We have to have a righteousness that comes from God. In fact, the only way that these standards could be met is if you already are God's child, not the other way around, that by meeting these standards, you become God's child. Does that make sense? The only way you can meet these standards is if you are already a child of God, not the other way around, that by somehow striving on your own to meet these standards, you become a child of God. In fact, by attaining to these standards, or at least approximating them, John Stott says, we give evidence of what by God's free grace and gift we already are. So we have to think about who we are. Now, as we make our way through these chapters of Matthew, there are going to be times where we're going to say to ourselves, I wonder whether or not I'm really a believer in Jesus. Such are the words of Jesus and how convicting they are. And indeed, that kind of examination is a real and good one, where we really study to see, first of all, what does Jesus call us to as members of his kingdom, and am I a citizen of it? Let me just share with you five overarching themes of these chapters. First of all, Jesus emphasizes heaven and hell. He emphasizes the reality of both. He talks about the danger of the fire of hell. He talks about the blessing of heaven. He talks about avoiding hell, of yearning for heaven. He talks about the eternality of life after death. He does not shy away from the dangers of hell. And he also points to the joys of heaven as greater than anything this world has to offer. As we make our way through this, I want you to observe, even today as we make our way through the text of Matthew 5 through 7, I want you to observe all the ways in which heaven and hell are commented upon by our Savior. Secondly, Jesus speaks and emphasizes that God is our heavenly Father, with a special emphasis on the Father's goodness and that his dwelling place is in heaven. The Father is unseen, but that does not mean that his kingdom is not more worthy than the things that we do see. There's lots of things we see and chase after, but our heavenly Father who is unseen has a kingdom that is much more worthy of our pursuit than the kingdoms of this world. A third principle of Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, is about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus wants to be clear that this life is not all there is. In fact, there's a kingdom that begins now and extends for all eternity. That kingdom must be the focus of our ambition, not this world's kingdoms. This kingdom is both here and now, but it's only in part here and now, and it will be fully revealed later. As we make our way through Matthew 5 through 7, I want you to observe the ways in which this kingdom of heaven is both here and now and something that will be revealed later. The Beatitudes, the first few verses of the Sermon on the Mount, are an expression of that, right? The poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, verse 3. Or at the very end of those Beatitudes, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, there is a view of the Sermon on the Mount which says that this was a sermon which was given only to Jews with an offer of the kingdom, and when they rejected it, it got kind of put on a postponed thing, and that this sermon has very little relevance to the church. I think that that view is inaccurate for a number of reasons, but one of them being that Jesus in the sermon acknowledges things that happen that wouldn't happen in the kingdom. And so, since there are things that happen, like divorce or anger or things like that, that wouldn't happen in God's kingdom, that we'd have to say that that view is a little bit flawed. In illustrating the principles of the kingdom of God, Jesus uses a number of very earthly, earthy, ordinary illustrations. He uses things like salt and light, stones and bread, fish and snakes, rain and houses, sawdust and plank. I think about him being a carpenter, and he talks about sawdust and planks. Birds and flowers, dogs and pigs, grapes and figs. Those are all things that Jesus uses in this sermon as illustrations. Be, as we go through the sermon today, be on the alert for the ordinary things of life that Jesus uses as an illustration of the kingdom of God. Fourthly, there is an emphasis in Jesus' teaching here on how tradition taught versus real teaching from God. Now, it's not that Jesus is disparaging the Old Testament. He loves the Old Testament, and he believes that he didn't come to abolish the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. But there were interpretations or traditions from that came out of a study of the Old Testament that were wrong. That there, in fact, were in Jesus' time people who thought that they knew all about God's kingdom and its rules. But they were largely mistaken. Think about the kinds of people that are addressed in this sermon. There's people who are members of God's kingdom. But Jesus also makes use of many kinds of people that were in the culture of the day that illustrate how not to pursue the kingdom of God. People like tax collectors, hypocrites, Pharisees, teachers of the law, Sanhedrin, and even pagans. So there is this, as we go through the sermon, look for the ways in which there is this tradition of people who thought they knew what the kingdom was about versus what Jesus says the kingdom is really about. And then fifthly, the place of blessing is to be an obedient member of God's kingdom. That Jesus sets down these principles because he wants citizens of his kingdom to know just how blessed they can be. The only way for the kingdom, the only way is for the kingdom to be within you. The righteousness that Jesus calls for is greater than what we can achieve, greater than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. What Jesus says is this, end of verse of chapter 5, be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, that's a pretty high standard, isn't it? These hard sayings suggest the impossibility of achieving this membership in God's kingdom on our own. Be perfect, not resisting an evil person, loving our enemies, forgiving those who wrong us, doing to others what we would have them do to us. It's a narrow way, Jesus says, and only a few find it. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus talks about the importance of having a right foundation, building our foundation on the rock, not on the sand. What is the rock? What is the sand? The place of blessing is to be an obedient member of God's kingdom. Now, what I'm going to do for you in the rest of this message is to illustrate for you what I think Jesus did when he taught it. I'm going to share with you the Sermon on the Mount. And what I want you to do is not to look at your Bible. Okay? And the reason, there's two reasons for that. One is that you're going to check up to see if I'm going to be wrong on a thing or two rather than thinking about what Jesus said. Secondly, when Jesus gave the sermon, people didn't have it in front of them to follow along. Okay. And what a setting here. Jesus was on a slope of a mountain that looked down onto the Sea of Galilee. Now, we aren't quite high enough, but we can slope down to a lake, can't we? And so it's a beautiful setting for this. Jesus sat down as he taught. There's a reason for that that we'll go into next week in terms of how the rabbis taught. I won't sit down because you can barely see me as it is, so I'll stand. The other thing that I would say is don't be impressed by memorization. Use it instead as a challenge for scripture memory. But in fact, there are people that are involved in Hollywood and the arts that memorize way more stuff than this and do so for even evil reasons. And so it's not something to be impressed by. Others do more and others do it better. As I've practiced this, every time I've gotten it wrong. Okay, so don't be impressed by that. But I want to say this. When Jesus gave his great commission, he said these words. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to have that today, aren't we? We're going to have baptism. But then the second thing he says is teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Now, Matthew 5-7 is part of what Jesus has commanded us. So if we're going to make disciples, we got to know what he taught us so that we can follow it. Amen? Amen. So with that in mind, you pray for me, but you also listen more than words that I share. Would you try to picture yourself on this mountainside looking down at this lake of Galilee and hear Jesus talk to you? Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled among men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head. You cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, who causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men in order to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not be like the hypocrites. For when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and on the streets in order to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me get the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many go that way. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Therefore, everyone, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one having authority and not as their teachers of the law. As we think about what Jesus has said here, does not your heart say, "Oh Lord, I in myself cannot measure up. I need a righteousness that goes beyond me." And do you know what Jesus' word to us is? Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. God is a good God who's not going to give us a rock instead of bread. He's not going to give us a snake instead of a fish. If we ask Him to forgive us by the blood of Jesus Christ, He will, and He will fit us as citizens for this kingdom that He's presenting and enable us to live lives that live out this ethic before a watching world, so that they too can marvel at the God that we serve and the Savior who bought us. If you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, let this teacher, this master from Galilee, be your master. And tell him, "Lord, I fall short of these standards of living. I could never measure up. I long for you to do something in me that is miraculous. Make me new." And you know what God will do? Because He gives, even better than any earthly parent will give. He will give you eternal life. And so as we pray, if there's anyone here who needs to put their faith in Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray along with me right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for your care for us. Thank you for how you've taught us these things. And Lord, I pray that if people have not put their faith in Jesus, that they would say this today. Today they would say, Lord, I commit my life to you. My righteousness can never measure up to your standards. Give me a righteousness from you. Give me your new birth, your new life, that I may live a new life. And then, Lord, for those of us who do know you and love you, I pray that these words would bring great comfort and challenge to us to say, Jesus, we long to follow after you. We long to follow our Master. In Jesus' name, amen.